We are going to continue this series for a few more weeks, for sure, studying on faith. Specifically, not studying on 14 steps to how we can build our faith, but learning how to become open to and to access God's faith within us. So Mark chapter 11, verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Man, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. But he's teaching us how this happens, how prayer works, how faith works. And what we've been learning over the last several weeks is it's not about having faith in God, but it's about having God's faith. And faith being based on, springboarding out of, or springing out of, that's a very life-giving word, springing up out of Christ himself within us. And we talked about how important it is to have God's faith in Mark 11, 22 in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read this every week. Let the faith of God be in you. Not just you have faith in God, but allow the faith of God to manifest in your life. So then we started saying, well, how does that look? How does that practically work in our lives? How does God's faith spring up out of us so that when we pray, believing in our heart, we believe we receive, then the prayer we're praying is manifesting? How does that actually happen? Because Jesus said it would, didn't he? So we're left with a couple of options. Either one, Jesus lied. I'm not really ready to go there, are you? Jesus is the truth, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I believe. So either Jesus lied or I'm missing something. There's something God's calling me or bringing me into, and all of us into, the body of Christ so that we can manifest his purposes on earth in prayer. So let the faith of God be in you. What does that look like? We talked about, well, one thing is God's faith speaks. When God wanted creation to manifest, he spoke it forth. So when God's faith manifests through me, I'm allowing Christ to speak through me. God's faith speaks. Well, okay, but I've done a lot of yakking and not all of it's been God. How about you guys? I've done a lot of talking and even praying. And Jesus said sometimes when we pray, we think, God, you're going to hear me because of my much of repetition, right? If I just say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, that must be what God wants me to do. But I've said stuff over and over and over and over again, and still the stuff didn't happen. How about you guys? Anybody else been there besides me? So it's not just about repetition. It's not just about speaking what I've memorized or just I've learned this principle, so I'm going to speak it out. But what we've been learning is that God's faith speaks from rest, from a place. It's from a posture, not of striving to make something happen, but from a place of complete rest in him. God's faith speaks from focus and flow. That's what we talked about last week. It's all about where our focus is. His faith manifests in us, not when we're focusing on the mountain, but when we're focusing on Jesus. Thank you, Gary, for saying that. Faith doesn't manifest when we focus on the storm. How many know the disciples were focused on the storm, right? But Jesus was focused on his Father, huh? And so Jesus was able to release peace from a place of peace, from a place of focus, from a place of flow. Today, what I want to talk about is how God's faith speaks a fresh now word. God's faith speaks a fresh now word. You can write this in your notes because this is what we're going to spend at least a couple of weeks talking about. Faith is connected to rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Faith is connected to rhema. There are different words that are translated word, and many of you know this, in the New Testament in Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in. Many, there are different words, primarily two different words, logos, some people say logos, logos and rhema, right? Now, when you look up these two words, and you look up the definition of these two words, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, logos is the written word, and rhema is the spoken word, but it's really not that cut and dry for logos. Logos includes spoken, written, communication. It's the logic of God. Jesus himself is the logos, right? He is the logic of God. He is the language of God. If we want to know what God is like, his native language is Jesus. I love that. Oh, that's all good. The native language of God is Jesus. He's the logos, or the language of God. So it's not really that cut and dry with the word logos, but it is that cut and dry with the word rhema. Rhema means this in your notes. The freshly spoken. If you look up every usage of the word rhema in the New Testament, and that's one of the things I did this week. I read every single verse. There's about 70 different times, depending on which manuscript you use, but about 70 different times that the word rhema is used in the New Testament. Every single time, it's about the spoken word. Every single time. Freshly spoken word, or another way to say that, is the present or present tense voice of God. It's the voice of God. Not just what is written, which the logos would include scripture. Scripture would be included in the word logos. In fact, that's how it would define itself. Scripture is the language of the logos, the communication of God. I believe that. I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Very much so. But there's a difference between what I read, I can try to live from logos, where I get some principles out of scripture and I try to apply them to my life. Or I read scripture in order to try to take those principles and make application of them in my life. And that's the way I tried to live a lot of my life, actually. I have a long history of trying to live my life from principles. That's actually still living under the law. Just trying to take principles, whether they're from the Old Testament or the New Testament, and if I simply am reading the principles, extracting the principles or the laws, whatever you want to call them, the commands, and then trying to do those commands as best I can. Or let's say I read about the life of Jesus. He is the Logos of God. So I'm reading about his life and I say, he is a very good example and I'm going to try really hard to imitate him. So I've been down that road and I encourage you to go down it. I would never discourage you. Because what I know will happen is anytime you and I try to live from law, sometimes we'll feel really good and proud about how well we're doing, but most of the time we're going to blow it and we're going to come to the end of ourselves and realize we were never created to live simply from principles. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. The law leads us then to a place of complete, utter, I cannot do this apart from Christ. I cannot accomplish this apart from Christ. It is not just about me trying to get some stuff that I'm trying to learn and do and accomplish on my own. But how many of you have been reading the Logos, the logic of God, and you're reading it with an open heart toward, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? And as you're reading along, all of a sudden you hit a verse that, it's like, whoa, where was that all my life? Have you ever had that happen? It's like, I've read this chapter in the Bible, I don't know how many times, or I've read this verse, I don't know how many times, and it's like I'm reading it for the first time. Or maybe a better way to say it, it's like it's reading me. You with me? That's rhema. That's moving from logos, the very important, I'm not diminishing the importance of logos. We'll talk about this in the weeks to come. Rhema must be tested against Logos. Anything I think I'm hearing from the Lord needs to be in alignment with his logic, his language, his inspired word, all right? So I am all about the Logos. But Jesus did not say that his words were, his Logos was spirit and life. He said his Rhema is spirit and his Rhema is life and life-giving. It's when Holy Spirit takes something from scripture that I'm reading. That's one way that Rhema manifests. I'm reading that scripture and that thing jumps off the page at me. And now it's not just something I'm studying to mark off the, here's my problem, here's what I've done too many times. I'm reading along, that thing jumps off the page at me, but I gotta finish my 1 year reading plan. So I keep going. You with me? I only got 15 minutes to finish this reading, Lord. I can't stop on that verse. I don't have time for that. I've got to get this reading done so I can mark it off and say I read my Bible through this year, right? I got to get that done. All the while, Holy Spirit is saying, the word for spirit in both Old Testament and New Testament is wind, breath, ruach in Old Testament, pneuma in the New Testament, the wind of God. He breathes on that thing and it's an invitation, right? Deep is calling to deep, as the psalmist would say. Hey, stop right here. This verse is alive for you right now. This verse is speaking to you right now. And it's an invitation to go deep with him in that moment. So if I've only got 15 minutes, the best thing I could do is take those 15 minutes on that. Maybe it's one word in a verse. Take those 15 minutes and just say, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? What are you speaking to me? Christ in me. Interpret and apply the word of God to my life. Make the Logos Rhema for me. Very popular verse when you talk on faith, Romans 10 verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I want you to notice that NASB says, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, some of the translations will say hearing by the word of God. And so we think faith comes by reading the Bible. That's not what Romans 10, 17 says. I am not telling you not to read your Bible. Everybody with me, okay? Why is that pastor getting up there? He told us to stop reading the Bible. I'm telling you, read the thing. I love the Bible. Read the Bible. We aren't going to make it without scripture. All right, I love the word. Am I clear on that? I don't have to say it 50 times, right? But that is not what Romans 10, 17 is about. Faith comes by not reading. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of Christ. Hearing by the Rhema, the breathed, the now present spoken word that Christ himself is speaking to me. Faith arises in me from his spoken word coming up out of me, which may be and many times is coming, it's coming right. That word is not so much leaping off the page, it's leaping out of your heart. When you see that scripture on that, it looks like it's magnified on that page and jumps off the page at you. It's because that thing is jumping in your heart because the one who wrote it wants to talk to you about it. Woo, shaka, all right. So faith, I always like to, this was important for me to get too. It doesn't say faith comes by what you heard. It says faith comes by hearing, right? Present tense. Like, what am I hearing from God right now? Peter talks about being established in this present truth, right? That's what Peter says. Be established in this present truth. Bill Johnson would say it this way. There are some things that are true, and then there are some things that are truer. That doesn't mean this is, you know, in the technical sense, less true, but it means right now for you in your life, this is the truth that I am causing to burn. You remember when Jesus went on the road with those guys from Emmaus and he talked to them and he opened the scriptures to them on the road, and when he disappeared, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us on the road, right? He said, our hearts burned They had read those passages before, but now the living Christ was speaking those things to them. And he wasn't just speaking them from the outside. He was literally with them in bodily form. But they said their hearts were burning and coming alive with the words that he was speaking that were resonating on the inside of them, huh? So faith manifests with a present tense word, a rhema, a spoken word, or the present voice of God manifesting in our life. Now, as I said, this week, I spent a bunch of time just reading every single, and I'd done this a couple weeks ago too, and I went back to it, every single verse with the word rhema in it. And I just wanted to, you know, Lord, what are you saying to me? You guys know I preach to myself before I preach to you, right? And even while I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself, right? And I'm, what are you saying to me, God? What are you speaking to me, God? What is this? Give me a fresh, because I've heard about rhema most of my adult life. I've heard teaching on rhema. What are you speaking to me? And so I went by verse and just began to look. And as I did this, some of the things that astounded me, which isn't, you know, this isn't uncommon, that a translator will translate a certain thing in a way that you would never know that this original Greek word was behind it. This is the case in a verse like Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Mary has just, she has just had an encounter with an angel that told her, you're a little girl, you're a 14-year-old virgin, and you're going to have a baby, and no man is going to be involved. This is a rhema word delivered to her. This is a word from God to her for her life. And so she's asking, how is this going to be? And he says, you know, an angel, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, which isn't much more of an explanation than what she had before, right? Oh, that's how. Okay, well, it makes perfect sense. Now, of course, I'm going to be a virgin and have a child because the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow me. Absolutely makes perfect. No, it doesn't, right? It's still like, this is the craziest. If anybody got a crazy rhema word, Mary got a crazy rhema word, right? It's like, what in the world? And this is what the word that was spoken to her in Luke 1:37. Nothing will be impossible with God. That is not what the Greek text says. The Greek text says, no rhema, not thing, no rhema will be impossible with God. No freshly spoken word that is brought to you is going to be impossible. There's a guy named Jack Taylor years ago made this statement about this idea of rhema. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. That's good, isn't it? No freshly spoken word that Christ speaks within you, within your heart, is ever going to come to you, ever, that doesn't contain in the rhema, because it is God-breathed, right? The ability to perform itself. So even this morning when we're singing, nothing is impossible, nothing is impossible, nothing is impossible, and we'll say things like, all things are possible to them that believe. How many know that doesn't mean that right now I should go climb up on top of this roof and jump off? Because nothing's impossible with God. So I should just go jump off the roof and I'll be fine. Jesus didn't even do that, right? When the devil tempted him to do that. It means that no freshly spoken word that we have from God is impossible. Nothing that God has spoken to us. In fact, this is really good to know about God. When the scripture says nothing is impossible with God, there are some things that are impossible for God. One is to lie. Scripture says that. It is impossible for God to lie. There's some things God cannot do. It would violate his character and his nature. It's not possible for him to do it because it's not in his nature or character to do it. He can't lie. That's actually good news to us, isn't it? No thing is impossible with God means no freshly spoken word that's coming out of his mouth is impossible with God. It contains the ability to perform itself. Okay, that's awesome. And we're going to talk more about what rhema does. But I want to talk about how rhema comes again. We've already visited this a little bit, but I want to go back to it. So how do we receive rhema from the Lord? Rhema comes to us as spontaneous thoughts that flow into your mind from your spirit. Now, to believe that, you have to believe, first of all, that your spirit and your heart, which would be your heart, same thing, your heart, your spirit, has been perfected by God. You have to believe that. You have to, because otherwise you're going to believe that, you know, the Old Testament verse that says, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. It's, you know, who can know it? That is absolutely true of the unredeemed heart. But if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, old things are passed away, all things have become new, you have a brand new heart. Your spirit has been completely, you're going to spend the rest of your life learning what's already true of you. You're going to spend the rest of your life manifesting in the present tense what's already true of you, what Jesus has already accomplished on the inside in the spirit. It's going to get worked out, and I am too. It's going to get worked out into the natural realm, but it's already true in the spirit, in our hearts, right? So up from my spirit comes spontaneous thoughts. Now, I'm not saying that every spontaneous thought that pops in my head is God. You're with me, right? That chicken leg that popped in my head right now could be God. He might want to be telling me don't be a chicken, right? But it might be because I'm hungry and it just popped in my head. Or I could be praying and something could pop in my head about somebody I'm upset with. The enemy also will try to plant spontaneous thoughts in our mind, right? But if you are going to God and asking him to speak to you, you and I can believe that he will, and we're going to talk more about learning to discern and know what thoughts are from him and what are from us, what are from the enemy. But you and I can learn to trust that if we're asking, he said this, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a serpent or a stone or, you know, like a father. He said if a child asks a father for fish, you wouldn't give him a scorpion or, you're not going to give them something dangerous, a snake or an egg or a snake. I must be hungry. I think that's what's happening right here. The bottom point of the story that Jesus was saying is you ask for Holy Spirit, that's what you're going to get. Trust that. Amen. Trust that when you're saying, Lord, speak to me, he said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not follow. He said that, right? So trust that those thoughts that are coming to you are thoughts that he's causing. Here's how Jesus said it in John chapter 5, verse 30. Of myself, I am unable to do anything. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. So Jesus described it as the voice that came to him. That the Father's voice would come to him, and as the Father's voice came to him, he would speak. And the voice would flow up. We've talked about this from the river on the inside of us. Holy Spirit's a river within us, right? John chapter 7. Holy Spirit's a river within us that's flowing up out of us as spontaneous thoughts. Here's a quote to simplify hearing God's present voice. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's the focus part we've been talking about. Tuning to spontaneity. That's paying attention then to the spontaneous things that come up out of your spirit into your mind. Maybe that's the verse you're reading that comes alive. Maybe it's something as you're reading that God begins to speak to you about that comes into your head as a spontaneous thought. Tuning to spontaneity and writing it down so you don't forget it. Don't forget that last part. That's what he told Habakkuk. Write the vision down so that the one who reads it can run with it. The one who's going to be reading it is you. If you want to be able to run with what God's speaking, write down what he's speaking to you. I'm going to say it again. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, eliminating the noise, stopping, right? Quieting yourself down, fixing your eyes on Jesus, that's the focus, tuning to spontaneity, and then writing down what he speaks to you. So in order for that to, here's the deal. Let me just say that differently. This is already happening. You're already hearing from God. I just want to hear from God. Someday I hope I'll hear from God like Tom Bafuto hears from God. Someday, hopefully. And Tom does hear from the Lord. But so do you. The problem is we tend to dismiss what he's speaking to us because we think, well, that just sounds like me. Well, whose brain is it coming up into? What do you think it's going to sound like, Charlton Heston? Or is it going to sound like this deep booming, you know, Gary, build an ark. It is me, the Lord, that speaketh unto thee right now. King James, is that what it's going to be? How many know that God speaks to you in a way that you can understand and recognize and become acquainted with? I just want it to be the perfect, pure flow of the Lord, 100%. Well, guess what? The water will always taste like the hose it comes out of. That doesn't mean it's bad water, but it will have the flavor of the hose, right? So learning to pay attention to those spontaneous thoughts when you're driving down the road, or sometimes when you're showering, or, you know, those automatic activities that we do that we don't have to think about. Paying attention to that those spontaneous thoughts that are coming into your mind, and then taking it back to the Lord and say, is this you, Lord? Are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to speak something to me? In order for this to be realized, I don't want to say for it to happen. It's already happening. God is already speaking to us. The issue is learning to tune to flow. Tuning to the right radio station. How many know the breeze is always playing? But it's putting your station on the right dial, right? The right frequency. So that you're picking up the signal that's always there. One of the things, though, that you and I have to do if we want to be open to that is, in your notes, rhema must be treasured above reason. Rhema must be treasured above reason. So Mary gets all of these things that the Lord speaks to her, and he's telling her things about her child, and she's encountering these shepherds coming to visit, and all this crazy stuff is happening. Rhema, 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 rhema manifesting in her life, and now rhema has manifested. Jesus has been born, and still all of these incredible things are happening. How did Mary, what was it about Mary that was so powerful? In your notes, Mary treasured up all these things. That's the word rhema. She treasured up the rhema and she pondered them in her heart. Isn't that good? She treasured the rhema and pondered in her heart. Ponder means this, to consult together. That's an important phrase, actually. To consult together. Why is that important? When we tend to, especially as Western people, we tend to lean on our reason. It has to make sense to our brains, right? I want this thing to make sense to my mind, to my brain. Did you know in Scripture there is only one place where we're told to reason? Only one. Yep, it's right here in your notes. Ding, ding, ding. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. They're red like crimson. They're going to be white like wool. I love this about God. He says, come let us reason together. You could treasure and value your ability to reason and figure things out. How far has that gotten you so far? In figuring out the big questions in life. Why am I here? What is going on? The big questions that you ask, how far has reason gotten you or me? And then God invites us, I love this about him, he says, come let us reason together. But I'm going to be the one that tells you that though your sins were scarlet, they're going to be white as snow, because my reason is the higher reason. So reasoning together, I'm right. Right? Which is awesome. I want that. I want to know there's something solid and stable that I can depend on. And so God speaks to Isaiah and says, I'm inviting you to reason with me. Here's how I'm going to reason. I'm actually going to give you a picture. Isn't that an interesting thought? I'm going to reason with you through a picture. Though your sins are scarlet, I'm going to make them white like snow. Though they're red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. He shows him a picture of snow. He shows him a picture of wool. And he reasons to him by showing him something, a picture that he can have in his mind and hold on to in his heart. That's God reasoning. But Mary, the same idea, she consulted together. She reasoned. She was partnering with God and mulling things, these things over and holding them. What do you do with a rhema word you don't understand? Well, what Mary did is she held that word in her heart. And she continued to ponder it with the Lord. And until that, and actually she didn't even understand this whole thing all the way up through Jesus' crucifixion, right? But she kept treasuring it. She kept pondering it. 33 years, she carries these things in her heart. And it's not till after Jesus' resurrection that some of the light begins to come on the rhema that's been in her heart for 33 years. Some of you have been carrying some rhema a long time. I'm telling you, keep carrying it. Keep carrying that word that you have from the Lord that you don't understand. You can write this in your notes. We are never commanded to reason without God. I'm going to go deeper into this next week. I'm going to stop now, but we're going to go deeper into this next week and talk some more about this. But I just want to encourage you this week, pay attention to the spontaneous thoughts as you're praying, as you're reading scripture. Everybody hearing your pastor say, read the Bible, right? As you're reading scripture this week, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Read with Jesus. As you're praying, pay attention to the spontaneous thoughts that he's bringing you. We're going to talk more about how to process those, how to walk that out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Amen? Let's stand. Amen. You want to, don't bow your head. You don't have to bow your head. If we were a pirate church, I'd tell you to bow your head and close your good eye. But we're not a pirate church, all right? But you have never given your life to Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Today is a great day to do that. With no one, I almost said with no one looking, with everyone looking, raise your hand. That's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to yield my life and surrender my life to him. Is there anyone that needs to do that? We don't want you to miss out on that. So let's do this. Let's just let Jesus know that we're open to him this week speaking to us through the spontaneous thoughts that come in our mind, the rhema of God that speaks to us, that is the living word of God that causes faith to rise up within us. Let's let him know. If you want to join me, just place your hand on your heart. Just say, thank you, Jesus. I have a new heart. Perfect spirit. Thank you that you promised your sheep hear your voice and another voice we will not follow. I am your sheep. I hear your voice. That's not bad. That's good. I was created to hear you. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to make me aware of your voice. Your voice brings life. Your voice brings health. Your voice brings freedom. And I hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.